Welcome to Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burrow. We are 140 days out from the Summer Olympics in Paris, but this week we're also 100 days out from the U.S. Olympic team trials for swimming. And USA Swimming celebrated that with a preview of the Indianapolis trials in Westmont, Illinois. This week we're at the TYR Pro Swim Series Westmont. U.S. Swimming President and CEO Tim Hinchey III showed off a rendering of what will be the first ever U.S. swim trials in a football stadium. The racers will compete in front of 30,000 spectators in June at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. You may remember we were just there last month for the NBA All-Star Weekend. You can check out episode 26 to hear more about that.
So that's interesting you say that, because one of the things that Indiana Sports Corp talked about, putting on these great events like the NBA All-Star Game, was how excited they are to have one of these sport events in the summertime. Because if it's basketball or football, it's typically the weather is a bit different. So yeah, they're super excited about that. Actually, I loved it. I've worked in three different NBA teams, so I love the NBA. So a chance to go there and see colleagues and friends is always great. But the setup they had in Lucas Oil Stadium for Saturday night skill events is exactly our setup. I have the picture here, so I'm happy to share with anybody. And I can tell you, I'm even more excited after sitting there and seeing what the view looks like and the opportunities for us to see what that feels like. It is big time. It's going to feel like the biggest meet in the history of the sport, and it's going to be the biggest. We're actually taking water from the White River. It's going to go through a treatment plant. This is a sustainable opportunity. It's going to be treated and then put in the pools and then put back in the river after. It's going to be great, I promise. It's going to be treated. Sustainability.
I was saying, oh no.
Those people laughing near him were Olympic gold medalists Ryan Held, Lily King, and Olivia Smoliga, who are competing this weekend in Westmont. I actually had a chance to reconnect with Olivia, a Chicago area native whom we talked to on Quest for Gold ahead of the Tokyo Games. I asked her about these next 140 days, getting through training, more races, trials, and hopefully the Olympics.
You know, I think I pride myself on, well, not pride myself, maybe my mentality has shifted to really enjoying the journey and thinking of everything as a step-by-step-by-step process. You have to kind of break this up towards excellence, like in your feats towards excellence. So, you know, the first step is this meet, then it'll be San Antonio, then it'll be preparation, then it'll be Olympic trials, but then you got to even break it down at Olympic trials. It'll be prelims, semis, finals. Being able to take it one step at a time helps someone who has a lot of energy and excitement out of me, like myself. You know, I actually, my coach, one of my coaches, Bob Bowman at ASU, he actually talked to me at trials at 2021. It was the 100 free. I finished the prelims. He comes by the warm down pool and he says, "All right, so what are you going to do for these semis now?" I was like, "Well, you know, I could actually have a better breakout off my turn." He's like, "Just focus on that. The rest will take care of itself." So I think I'm taking that mentality with me in trials. Take care of this. The rest will take care of itself. Then when I get to the Olympics, and that's the goal, that's what we're aiming for. Once I get there, all things, you know, going the way that I hoped they will go, then I focus on the Olympics.
To knowing all those steps lie in front of you, is that overwhelming or is it easier to just take it?
I think it's easier because think of it this way. It's like, make the Olympic team. Well, how do I do? You know, what do I have to do? And when you are able to break it down, almost like an outline for an essay, you know, and you tackle one thing at a time, and it actually boosts your confidence. You're like, oh, I actually was able to complete that task. I actually can complete this next task, and so on and so forth. And then, you know, you get there and you end up doing the thing, and it's wonderful. Actually, Ryan would be a great person to talk to about that because he was actually a YMCA swimmer. He never went to like a national meet type of thing. He was telling me like his mentality the summer before the 2016 Olympic trials, he was like 14th in the U.S. And he's like, 14? Okay. To make top six, I just got to beat eight people. I think I can do that. And you take it step by step, and it's amazing how the mind can take you to that great place of security and stability versus scrambling to try to.
Are there a lot of sports psychs in swimming? Do you? I know that some of the sports they have psychologists they work with. I don't know if that's something that you guys do much.
We do. We actually have amazing resources in sports psych. You can actually, because if you're on the national team, you get health insurance, and this health insurance kind of covers the psych side of it. You can go on a website, kind of have these test runs with psychologists to get a feeler if you really, you know, enjoy it. And truthfully, this is what took my career to the next level, to be able to actually, organize my thoughts, you know, because after for being in the sport for as long as I have been, you know, this would be my fourth Olympic trials. I'm aiming to make my third Olympic team. You have a ton of input on, you should do it this way, you should do it this way, what about this, what about this? And it can get scrambled. So being able to kind of dial in and focus is, I believe, what all elite athletes, like, talk about, like, Kobe, you know? He's like, yeah, when I'm on courtside, rest in peace, when I'm courtside at a game, you know, and all these thoughts are running through my head, I'm like, what's real right now? What is the actual truth? What is the, what am I feeding into some sort of illusion right now? And the sports cycle kind of just, it'll help in such a way. And even if not that, what about a mentor who has done it before you? I've had the privilege of being able to speak to Aaron Pearsall, who was my idol growing up. He was still current world record holder in the 200 back. And I'm able to just listen to his stories and his ease with how, it's not easy, but he makes it seem easy. So sports psych, mentor, a trusted friend, you know, these are imperative to our success. We don't do it alone. And I used to think I did it alone to kind of dust that off my shoulder, like, yeah, it's all me, but it's not.
But is that what makes you different from you 8 years ago?
Oh.
I mean, what has changed from that first cycle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, how have you grown and developed? Is it mental? Is it physical? Maybe a combination of the two.
Combination of the two. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I give so much grace to my 8 years ago old self. You know, it's like that saying, it's like, you don't know what you don't know. You can't see what you don't see. So it's like when I'm able to actually look back and say, ah, maybe I tripped up here, but I made this mistake for a reason, so I could learn from it, so I could grow from it. And that's the beauty of the sport for me. People sometimes ask, you know, what keeps you in this sport? I'm 29, which is considered old, whatever, in the sport. And I'm like, what keeps you in it? And it's this constant drive to get to know myself, to learn from my mistakes, to continue to level up. Like, this to me is the joy of it all, because I'm facing myself with these challenges I decide to go through, and this is what helps my maturity grow. I think I've just become a more mature racer, a more mature competitor. I've allowed my failures not to just completely knock me down like they have in the past. I'm able to say, okay, let me learn from this to get better. This is something that's really missed in young sports, where it's like, if you lose, you suck. If you win, you're great.
It's a results mentality instead of a growth mentality.
Exactly.
And do you think that growth mentality, though, comes with age? I mean, you were probably that person when you were young, right?
You know what? I was. And I think along the way, sometimes you get lost. Sometimes you just forget. And that's something that Aaron will tell me a lot. He's like, you know, does it get easier? And I'm like, no, it doesn't. He's like, that's true. It doesn't necessarily get easier, because you remember these things, but then you maybe stumble a little bit. But as long as you can bring yourself back to that alignment that you know yourself to be, like, you're going to be good. And the hardest part of it all is being the best version of yourself without comparing yourself to others. And you can't. You just can't.
What brings you back? Is it music, meditation? Like, what kind of things, when you get lost, you have to center on?
You know, it's my trusted mentors. I talk to them. I'm like, hey, am I bugging about this? And they're like, yeah, you might be bugging. It's okay, though. It's just, I feed so much on realness of people. Because you can get so caught up in everything. And when someone just brings you right back to it, you're like, oh, duh. Like, this is what it is. So not only that, I enjoy yoga a lot. I enjoy meditation a lot. Breath work. Even here, sitting, I was getting nervous. I'm like, let me just take a couple of deep breaths. I'm good. It's okay. A lot of the times we tend to over-dramatize things. At least I have in my past. And you overindulge in those dramatizations. So I try to just keep it real. Like, keep it as real as I possibly can, you know. And just have the awareness of who I am right now. And I won't be this person tomorrow. I will be different tomorrow. I'll be different in a year, you know. So I'll be different when trials comes. And I love that. This is like a philosophy for life, not only swimming. So,
well, when you reflect back on Tokyo, what a weird Olympics that was. I mean, what was that experience like for you?
So Tokyo was tough. If I'm going to be straight up with you, it felt I didn't have this mentality. So coming off of the trials where I missed the 100 back, I got third, and then really had to fight and claw because I thought that I needed to in order to make the 100 free, which I did. I was so proud of myself. By the time I got to Tokyo, I just felt like zapped, because I was like, I don't this doesn't feel right, you know, and it was hard. It was hard for us all.
You throw the mass and the transportation and having to fly in and fly out and not see people.
Exactly. You know,
family.
Exactly. It's that support that helps so much, and I think that was missing. But we learned to adapt, and I think that was just a really adapt. I had to adapt during that period, and it just was a bit difficult for me, but I think I take those lessons now, and I see how I put myself in holes myself, where I could have just been like, hey, take a breath, it's all right, you know, and I see that, and I see how unhappy I was with the mentality I was serving myself, so now I know, like, that doesn't work for me, like, I'm going to try something different. Maybe if I try this, it'll feel a bit better. And that's that character building that Lindsay was talking about being at trials, which is so hard pill to swallow when you're like, character building, I just want to make the Olympics, you know. But it's a growth thing, especially if you want longevity in the sport.
Well, it's got to be exciting, though, thinking about the Olympics and not getting too far ahead of yourself, but thinking that this would be a normal Olympics, a regular Olympics, where you can actually have fans in the stands, where you can walk around and see the basketball players and the volleyball players and track stars and stuff like that. I mean, does that excite you?
So exciting. Beyond exciting. The Olympics are just an entirely beautiful experience. Like, my mom described it in a way where it's like this center of peace. You know, all these countries come together and all else kind of, not that it melts away in any way, but it's just a moment of reflective peace for everyone to be able to come together and celebrate each other's countries, because being at the Olympics, what's it like, the top 1% of the world, so it's like you get to just bask in this, and countries are cheering for other countries, and it's a spectacle of sportsmanship that I think people enjoy the same way with theater and art and movies and science and all that. So it's like you just appreciate what's so great. But to answer your question, yeah, it'll be great to have a normal Olympics. I mean, the crowd is everything, you know, it'll be so awesome.
Are you going to get a chance at, do you still have family here in Glenview? Are you?
Yeah.
Are you sleeping at home? Or?
I'm in a hotel.
Okay, all right.
But when I first flew in, I stayed one night. Okay. I saw my parents, my brother, my dog.
Okay.
It was awesome.
And a crazy question, way out ahead of your skis on this one, but I mean, yeah. 2028 in LA, that's...
I don't know if I can answer that. I mean,
you know, it's interesting talking with athletes, though, who are, you know, kind of deeper into their careers and thinking... Yeah, but I could swim in front of a home crowd, you know, at the Olympics.
That's
so, I mean,
crazy.
I think there are going to be a lot of people having to make that tough decision, you know.
Ask me in 3 years. I don't know.
I gotcha. Thank you, Olivia. We'll continue to follow her progress over these next few months leading into trials and hopefully Paris. The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team will take on Brazil Sunday in the CONCACAF W Gold Cup Final. After dropping a pool game to Mexico a couple weeks ago, they've now ripped off 9 straight unanswered goals to rout both Argentina and the Dominican Republic. 13 U.S. boxers are taking part in an Olympic qualifying event in Italy hosted by the International Olympic Committee. This is the second of 3 qualifying tournaments. Over 1,000 boxers are competing. USA Rugby Women's Sevens took bronze in last weekend's tournament in Los Angeles, winning 5 of 6 matches on their home turf. The men finished 8th, but both teams have already qualified for Paris. And that'll do it for this week's episode of Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burrow. Thanks for joining me on site in Westmont, Illinois. We'll be back next week with a new episode as we march closer and closer to the Summer Games in Paris.